This is Mad Radio.
I'm Marcus.
I'm Alexa.
And I am Daria.
Today's topic is about change. Mine specifically is about to adjust to a world with just one ear. Hello, Simone. How are you doing?
Good.
Okay, so I know that you have a hearing loss, right?
Yes.
In your left ear.
Yes, I am 100% lost in my left. I am 100% lost in my left ear.
Really? And what about your right ear?
It's 80%, but it's really working well.
Okay. Well, how different is your life now than it was in the past, dealing with the hearing loss?
Well, 4 and 5, better. I don't really know how everyone else is here, but it's really clear.
So how do you hear?
When I have my hearing aid on, I can mainly almost hear some small stuff, but regular stuff.
What do you mean by that?
Like, probably like a mouse squeak. Probably like up to a mouse squeak. That's how low it is. And with my hearing aid off, when I use my hearing aid for a while, it's kind of really fuzzy. So if I'm talking to somebody but I can't hear them, I just read their lips to understand.
And don't you also know sign language?
Yes.
Hey, do you feel like an outcast because of your hearing loss?
Well, no one really talks about my hearing or like that, but mainly everyone thinks that having a hearing loss is cool, but it's not.
Why do you think that? Why would I think not being able to hear is cool?
I don't know. Well, I told them that I can do many stuff. I had this cord that you can hook it up to the computer box to my FM, and I can hear the computer. And I also get to change my color of my hearing aid. I think that's the coolest part of what they think. I don't really know.
Okay. Well, how does this change the way you look at the world?
I'll view the world, to me, sounds like the ocean when I have my hearing aid off. So that's why I really go to speech to help understand other people. Because sometimes when I'm reading, I don't really know what I'm saying. I might miss the word at the end of the sentence.
When has this happened to you before? Like, when's the last time that happened to you?
On Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I was reading a sentence, but it had an F at the end, but I didn't say that word. So my speech teacher told me to read it again. So that's when I realized that I missed the S words.
So you can't pronounce the S words, or you just don't hear it?
I just don't hear it because I don't really hear myself saying things sometimes.
Does wearing your hearing aid make you feel embarrassed? Do you feel embarrassed wearing it?
No, because I thought that since I have a hearing aid, I thought that all my friends would just think that I'm weird. So that's why I'm really embarrassed. So that's when they were starting to admire it, I felt better. So I talked about my hearing aid and why I need it.
So how much harder is school for you with this hearing loss?
Kind of, really hard. Because sometimes when my hearing aid gets clogged up and I have to just leave my hearing aid out, it's hard for me to hear. So my teacher has to get close to me to say the direction so I can hear her.
So
if she's far
so it really
away,
takes up like a lot of class time, and you need more one-on-one time just to be able to hear with the teacher. Because I know for me, my stuttering usually prevents me from speaking out in class or reading a passage or like having to act out stuff or teach class something or public speeches. So that's how I can relate. So for you, it's like more work because now the teacher has to work with you one-on-one after she just taught the class. Okay. Does this have a big impact on social activities? Like, does your hearing loss really affect like how you talk to your friends and how you hang out with them? Friends and family?
That is a good question. Well, sometimes when I'm talking to my friends, I might not hear them, like, over and over. But then that's when it gets a little frustrating for them.
For them? Not.
Okay. Yeah, it gets a little frustrating for them. So I told them to say it one more time. And as they're saying the words, I looked at their lips. So.
Okay. How does listening to music change for someone like you?
Well, if I use the headphones, it'll probably damage my hearing.
Okay, how much more energy do you have to use just to keep up with, like, your friends and your family? For me, I know that I have to focus harder just to be able to speak. Because with an average person, they can just talk, and then the words come out perfectly. With me, I have to make sure that I'm breathing right, I'm calm, I'm relaxed, I'm using my techniques to help me get through all the struggles. So I have to do all these steps just to be able to talk. As, let's say, someone like you who doesn't stutter, you can just talk. I have to prepare myself and actually get ready mentally and physically just to be able to speak.
Well, mainly when a teacher's talking, I have to look at him or her. So I can understand that teacher. If not, then I'll just miss the direction.
Name some of the struggles that you had with hearing loss. Besides the obvious, you can't hear. No offense, sorry.
Well, is it hard for me to hear something?
No, just name some of the difficulties that you have with this hearing loss.
Well, the struggle for me is that, wow, like, my hearing aid gets clogged up. It's kind of really hard.
You mean, how's it get clogged up?
Wax covered up. So I have this wax cleaner so I can clean it out, but sometimes the wax might go up in my tube, which that's kind of hard, so my mom has to go, you know, take it to the ear doctor so they can refix it. And
She's my mom, so...
Yeah, we know.
You put, like, a lot of, like, you know, power on that my mom part. It's our mom.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know someone else who has a hearing loss?
Yes. One person. Who? Her name is Lamaja.
Lamaja? She's in your class?
No, she's in the third grade. And our uncle, Uncle Tim, he has a hearing loss in both ears.
Yeah, he's low in both ears.
Seriously?
Yeah. No. Personally, I don't know which one is worse. Not being able to hear completely in one ear.
I know someone who...
But have full hearing in the one ear, or just being low in both. I personally think that both of those are just horrible.
Yes. Yeah. I know someone whose brother is completely deaf. And go to Thailand school.
Does it make it... Do you feel better knowing that I have a speech problem and you have a hearing loss? Like, do you feel more comfortable because we both have that problem?
Yes, because if I was the only one, I'm going to feel like that I'm left out. And it really hurts.
And sometimes going through a struggle with somebody else really does ease the pain of your struggle and that person's struggle. Well, I do agree with you right there. Because personally, when I'm around you, I don't care about my stuttering at all, really. I just forget the techniques. I just don't care, really. You know, because you have your problem and I have mine. So, well, Simone, you want to say something?
Mm-hmm. Around our family, I really don't really care. If, like just say I have... some wet stuff in my tube. It's just easy for me to take it out. So.
Okay, Simone, thank you for your time. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the little podcast that we have. Thank you. Marcus Burrell and
Simone Burrell.
Thank you.
My interview was about coming from alcoholic parents and a broken family to now being successful and getting back on your feet.
Hi, Michelle. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, Alexa?
Good. Michelle's parents divorced when they were three. Her mom was mostly a single mother taking care of her children, and her dad came around only when he felt like it. Michelle has two brothers.
Sure, my younger brother, his name is Anthony, and he has a totally different personality than me. Mm-hmm. He's loud, and he's got to be heard, and he's got to prove himself, whereas me, I'm quiet and shy, and, you know, I'm outgoing with people that I know, but I choose my friends wisely. My older brother, on the other hand, he's very loud also, and he's, you know, he dealt drugs, you know, as a teenager. He got in trouble with the law all the time. So, you know, he was more of, quote unquote, being in the street a lot. So, but he died at 29 years old of an asthma attack.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
Michelle's two brothers used to gang up on her a lot, usually teasing her about her weight, because she was just a little overweight. But after her older brother left and moved out the house, her and him started to get closer because they weren't near each other so much anymore. Her younger brother, though, kind of took another path. Michelle believes he was a little jealous because Michelle was very close to her mother, and in her mother's eyes, everything Michelle did was right, and everything her younger brother did was wrong. And it created a lot of sibling rivalry and a lot of controversy and friction between the two. Michelle's parents were both alcoholics. Her mother had multiple boyfriends, and she was a good mother. She always tried to keep food on the table, keep clothes on Michelle's and her brother's backs, and keep a roof over their heads. Her dad came over when he felt like it. He was living with another woman and her kids. Out of his children, he treated Michelle the best.
He treated me the best because I was the daughter.
Since your parents, you know, split, did you have any stepmoms or stepdads or?
No, my mother had, you know, over the years she had boyfriends, you know. And
were they also alcoholics?
Yes, they were. They were alcoholics, and I watched my mother fist fight with them.
So they were abusive to her?
Yes. Or, they were physically abusive. They were, and I would get. I remember getting so angry and saying, "Why do you let these men do this to you? Why do you let them put their hands on you?" Yeah, it was really ugly.
Michelle's dad treated her and her siblings and his girlfriend's siblings very differently.
He treated those children better than us. Mm-hmm. We'd go over the house. They'd have rice and beans and chicken and real good food while we ate hot dogs, you know. And so we were always slighted by my dad. I felt, you know, resentment towards him because I felt he could have been a better father.
Did you guys ever, like, talk about that? Like, because, like, I know some people would confront their parents about, why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that, and like, make their parents face the reality. Like, did you ever rise up to confront your dad? Michelle never confronted her dad herself. But as her dad got older, they became more separate. Her father and her brother were never close anymore. But as he got older, he started to call out. He called Michelle and asked her, "Why doesn't your brother want to be with me anymore? You know, why doesn't he want to connect anymore?" And as Michelle's younger brother got older, as he became more of a man, he had more responsibilities, he had more kids, and he realized himself that his father really wasn't a man to him. All right, so about 10 years later, your father died, right?
Yes.
Can you tell me, how did he die?
Well, my dad had, he did have some illnesses, diabetes and high blood pressure and high cholesterol.
Was he also overweight or?
No, he wasn't really overweight, but he had, you know, he had diabetes and high blood pressure and high cholesterol. But I have to say, even with the diabetes, he didn't really take care of himself like he should have. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I didn't live with him, so I couldn't monitor how he was taking care of himself. And then, I don't know, we would talk every couple of days, and then I didn't hear from him. And then I tried to call his phone, and he didn't pick up. So I got really concerned and worried. And, you know, I kind of knew the area that he lived in, and I didn't even know exactly where he lived. So the one night, you know, I went to the police station and I was gonna put a missing person report on him, and I went to hospitals, but nothing. And the police told me, if I don't find him within 24 hours, come back to the police station. So I went down to the area I knew where he lived, and I was asking neighbors about him, and, you know. So, you know, they directed me to who the landlord was. So I spoke to the landlord, and he went up there, and, you know, my dad's, like, the lights were on, the fan was running, but he wasn't up there. Then the next day, I received a call from the examiner's office that, you know, from a bereavement group, actually, telling me that he was at the examiner's office, and he was already ID'd, and he passed away. And that's how I found out. So I begged the bereavement center, you know, to please let me see my dad before he... I needed to see him and say my goodbyes, and I needed to see that it was real, that he was really, you know, gone. Mm-hmm. And so she finally, you know, she said, okay, I'm going to see what I can do. And then she called me back and she told me, if you can get here by 4:00 today, you can come.
Michelle didn't have a lot of money, so she had to have her father cremated. After that, people were giving her all types of difficulties. The man who worked in the funeral home gave her a hard time because she really wanted to see her father before he got cremated. And he finally let her see her after about an hour of going back and forth. The landlord, she asked him if, you know, she could get out all her stuff from the apartment before anybody comes. And then his partner practically rushed her to get all of her stuff out so he can rent the apartment out to his friends. It was really tough for her. After all the chaos, Michelle found the strength to get a job and to go back to school.
So I worked part-time and I went to school full-time.
Well, what pushed you to go back to school?
My boyfriend pushed me.
Oh, and who's your boyfriend?
Muhammad. His name is Muhammad. He's from Africa.
Oh, that's cool. So all these events happen in your life, parents being alcoholic, after your mom dying, you had to take care of yourself, after your dad died, and all these issues, like, do you think that if these problems didn't happen, do you think that you would be, like, a different person right now? And if you do, like, how do you think you would be different?
I think I would be a little different, meaning, because I've always been a very responsible person, even as a young girl. But it definitely has made me stronger, and it's made me able to deal with difficult situations as they come along, because, you know, I feel like if I could get over my mother's death and my father's death and my brother's death, you know, I could get over anything.
All right. Thank you for taking some time to talk to me.
You're welcome, Alexa.
Both of my parents were born in different countries and moved to America later on in their lives. This is their stories and experiences of moving and adapting to a new country and lifestyle.
Adapting to a new country can be a very difficult thing. My parents were both immigrants when they moved here to America. Here is their story.
I was born in Iran.
I was born in Italy.
I moved to United States of America. I was like 20 years old, and it was February 1977.
I lived in Italy for 20 years. I just moved to come to United States. I moved in 1994.
They came from totally different backgrounds and have their own unique stories.
I got in love with someone that was living here and did not want to move. So I had, since he was already working and I was finished university, it was easier for me to move.
I wanted to continue my education, and I couldn't get into university in Iran. And I got acceptance at one of the colleges in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And I came to finish my study in the United States.
I asked them about the struggles and differences they had to face after moving, and this is what they said.
Moving and settling elsewhere is a very, very traumatic experience, and I don't know that I would want to ask anybody to go through it unless they want to. You know, you're an outsider. For a very long time you do not feel that this is your place. You just really feel misplaced all the time. Really the culture, the difference in culture, the attitude of just the people. I first lived in the suburbs, and it felt as if I was really on a different planet. When we moved to the city, we live now in Center City, I've been living in Center City for about 16 years, things got much better, but you could definitely feel, you know, prejudice and racism. Much, much more. I think people in the city are used to being different and to accept and embrace other culture, while outside it seems that you are just an outsider, period. Yes, and it's very hard to leave your family, your friends, and as you leave them, you always miss them, you think of them, and sometimes that makes obviously harder for you to get adjusted, because part of you is cling to your own land.
Although moving can be a very difficult thing, my mother didn't seem to regret it when I asked her if she did.
No, not at all, no. I have one brother and two sisters. We were so close that the distance makes no difference, except the practical fact that you can't spend hours together, or you can go shopping together and you don't always share your holidays. But other than that, emotionally, I think we remain very, very close.
6 brothers and 3 sisters.
I asked my dad if it was hard to move away from such a big family.
To leave brother and sister, not really. But parents, yes, especially my mom, yeah.
Yeah. Here are my dad's views on adapting to America.
No, it was easy because I was pretty young, 20, 21 years. I think that made it to adjust pretty quick, and not pretty quick, but you know, it being easy. Food, like, you know, I never was cooking until I came over here, and I was like eating out, but at the point I said, you know, we gotta do the home cooking. One thing was, of course, the weather, because I got here in February and, you know, it was cold. I think that's the weather. When I got actually into college, first we went to, the first 7-8 months, mm-hmm. we went to the school, which was connected to a college to learn how to speak English. That time was the easiest because, you know, we were living in a dormitory and a lot of friends, day and night, class and, you know, dormitory.
Did you speak English at all?
No, a few words, yes. But it was very difficult. Sometimes I was giving up. I said, you know, that's not me.
And he is still learning.
Well, I'm still learning.
The opportunities that my children have. Yeah, there would definitely be a difference if we were in Italy. There will obviously be some things that I might like better, again, just because they would be probably even more closer to my own culture, although my children are already very much in line with our culture, even though they do live outside of Italy. But I think in the overall, they would have a very different life and a little bit less exposure to all the different things that they have here.
I had like a couple of good opportunities. Of course, I work for myself now. When I went to college, I finished my bachelor, and the opportunity was that I continue my education. But always I wanted to work for myself. So when I got my bachelor, when I studied manufacturing engineering, when I studied that, I got my bachelor to go back to my country, mm-hmm. to be an engineer. And that's what my goal was, to work over there. But when I see, when that's the opportunity comes over here, because I figure if I work on my degree, I wouldn't be successful. I would be more happy and successful if I work for myself. That's why I didn't bother actually to use my degree. So, and I think I'd be the right move. I'm, you know, more happier this way.
Moving to a different country can be very stressful and hectic, but there are always good things that come out of it. I hope you enjoyed the story of my parents' journey to America. I hope you enjoyed today's interviews. Thank you for listening to Mad Radio. Tune in next week for a whole new topic.